Good evening and welcome to Grace. I'm Pastor Ryan, and might I add, Merry Christmas Eve. Tonight's service is our candlelight Christmas service that is centering around Jesus' birth, but it is also another step in our Son of God series. In this short message, we will examine the Apostle John's appraisal of Jesus' arrival as he unpacks three problems in dealing with receiving our Lord. Problems that still persist today. Thanks for listening as we celebrate the birth of our Lord that enables our new birth in the Spirit.
I worship you.
We just sang a song that repeats that beautiful word that we hear every Christmas time, Noel, Noel, Noel. Does anyone know what Noel even means? I had to look this up. It means birth. That's what it means. It comes from out of the Latin. In fact, the root of nativity connected to the word Noel, because Noel is brought to us into English through French, but even the name Natalie and Natalia are names that are referencing the root of this word, Noel. It means birth. We have the greatest privilege that because God gave his Son, fully God, to be born and wrapped in flesh, you and I now have the ability to be born, or Noel, again. It had me thinking about this concept of birth. What is wrapped up in birth as it is offered to us as physical beings here on this planet, occupying by a spirit that will live forever? What does birth really mean? And I wrote down three things. It's irreversible, right? You with me on that? I remember the moment the nurse handed my son to me, and good luck is what I felt, right? Because now here he is. You don't get to change this. He has arrived. Additionally, your birth is the grounding of your identity. And so you're named after your birth, and the name of your parents becomes your name because you are now born to them. It also changes the identity of parents, right? So before my son was born, I wasn't a father, but after he was, my identity has changed. And maybe as you have had the blessing of having children, or being able to be a kind of surrogate parent to the church within the family of God, you will see the undeserved blessings that come from a birth. Makes me think of another word. A gift. Don't you love it that you get to be part of this faith, that at the gift of God's one and only Son, we get to give each other gifts? How beautiful a tradition that this is. And it makes me think that a gift in and of itself is something that has a requirement to it. For a gift must be received. If it's not received, you and I, we've essentially rejected or wasted whatever gift has been given. And this is where it's going to get really important for us on a Christmas Eve service. Because God sent his Son as a gift for all mankind. The problem is, not all mankind has received that gift. You may have brought your Bible. If you didn't, you're welcome to find one there in the back of the pew. We're going to read a short verse out of John's Gospel. So if you have a Bible, or you can put your hands on one, turn with me real quick to John's Gospel, the fourth Gospel in the New Testament. We're going to read a few verses out of chapter 1. As we do, kind of a theme from John's writing shows up in verse 14. We're not going to read 14, but it's these words, that the Word, that's John's reference to Jesus, the divine Logos, the Word, has become flesh. That's Christmas. God has been made incarnate into our presence in the person of the Son. And John continues that he has made his dwelling among us. We have seen the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. If you have your Bibles, we're going to read in chapter 1, verses 10 through 13, and then just make a few highlights for us to meditate on as we celebrate Christmas Eve tonight. John chapter 1, verse 10. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. We're going to just unpack a little bit of what John is laying out here at the very beginning of his gospel message, declaring to the world who Jesus is. He starts quoting from John the Baptist and then moves into this declaration of identity, showing for us three problems with the gift of Jesus. I want to highlight those problems for you and I today because I believe that they were present in John's day, in Jesus' day. I believe they exist today as well. And so the first one shows up here in verse 10. The problem is that many people don't see their need for a present, for a gift. They don't see their need for Jesus. Reminds me of some presents that I've received down through the years. Can you think with me the worst present you've ever received? Just think with me for a minute here. What's the worst present? I remember when I was a kid, I'd go to grandma's house, and I'd always get, it wasn't in a box, it was kind of squishy and very light, and invariably I'd open it up and find a new pair of what? Yeah, socks. Are you kidding me? That's what I got. And as a kid, do you think you care about socks? No, I'm just burning holes in the bottom of my socks, no care at all. I'm sure my feet stunk. That's probably why grandma got me socks. But what was my problem? I didn't see the need. I didn't. If you look with me again in verse 10, John writes, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him. That little word recognize, the verb here means to perceive with a kind of understanding. It means to come to know. It's not that they weren't able to identify Jesus. It's not that they were confused that this was Mary and Joseph's son. We know this throughout the rest of the gospel record, but they didn't perceive their need for him. I was at my mom's today, and there's down across the field, they're doing some logging, a little bit of a clear cut. And it reminded me, as she and I were just sharing this afternoon, of when they were cutting on my parents' property years ago. And my dad, so excited, took me to go and sit inside the processor. Now, have you ever seen one of these processors? They're absolutely incredible. And I can remember my dad being so excited to show this to me because all he wanted for Christmas was a processor. And I sat in there and my response was, Let me tell you something, folks. Now that I'm older, all I want for Christmas is an Access Forestry Rebel T22 HD. What changed? What changed? I matured a little bit more to identify the need that this has in my life. Boy, I sure could use it. It made my life so much easier. I got to tell you, church, it breaks my heart to watch my neighbors, family members, loved ones who go through life just constantly bouncing off the bottom in pain an argument dragging every expression of hell into this world of how they treat themselves, how they treat one another, all the while refusing to turn and embrace the gift of Jesus Christ to change their lives, to change their identity, undeserved grace in their life. And it's all because they simply don't see their need. So this is the first problem. I want to identify for you all the second problem. Not only do people not see their need for Jesus as a gift, but many simply don't want him. They just don't want the gift. If you look with me in verse 11, John records, he came to that which was his own, which you and I would already anticipate. John's leading us here thinking, listen, if you're going to come home for a reunion, you expect to get what? Arms wide open, right? That the door's open for you, that you're coming to your own. And yet, what was the response of the Jewish people when their Messiah showed up, not as a military leader, but as a lamb, as a suffering servant? John writes here, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. The word receive here means to take as your own. This past week, my wife and daughter are making Christmas cookies. And so that's a good day, right, in the Flunker house. And I must have had just kind of a big meal. And Sadie comes to me and she says, Dad, do you want to try our cookies? And I just wasn't feeling it. I was like, no, thank you. No, that's okay. I took the gift that was offered and I politely, because it's Sadie, you guys, like I'm not that kind of dad. I'm polite. But I refused the gift. And then it was a little bit later, about 11 o'clock, I made my way downstairs because your stomach starts to tell you, hey, what's in the fridge? And there I see the cookies all laid out. And I say, let me try one of these things. And, let me try two of these. Let me try three of these. You see, what had happened is I had not taken the gift to make it my own until I tasted it. And I tried it and I found out how really great it was. This is a problem in our world when it comes to Jesus. There are so many people who just see Jesus as a reflection of either a hypocritical Christian like myself, or some intrusion upon their weekend, or some vain form of religiosity that makes them scoff and think, oh, those silly Christians. Wait a minute. What if you just try Jesus? Just give him a shot. Don't reject him outright. Give him a chance. The gift that Jesus is to the world is one that we need to appropriate to ourselves, to make our very own. You guys are used to hearing stories about my dogs. Our littlest dog, Bella, she has a little stuffed animal, a little stuffy. It's got these floppy arms because you can throw it and she likes to chase it and bring it back. Let me tell you, she loves this thing. She carries it around everywhere she goes. This little stuffed monkey and Bella go everywhere. She'll cuddle with it. She takes it to bed with her. She cries up on the couch with her. It was a gift given to her and she takes it everywhere. That's what it means to receive the gift and appropriate it to yourself. You don't leave it under the tree. You don't forget it at home. You don't put it away in a box. You don't store it in the attic. You carry it with you always. And the problem here is they're not interested. They don't want this gift. We have one last problem. In verse 12, it says, yet to all who received him. And now this sounds good. John puts this contrastive conjunction. He's now going to make a contrast here. This is what rejection looks like. They didn't receive him. They didn't want him. They didn't recognize him. But to those who did, and then John defines what that means. To receive Jesus means what? He says right here. It says, to all who received him, to those who had... Do you catch it? Do you see it in your Bible? What's the verb? Anybody with me today? Believed in his name. That's what it means to receive Jesus. And one of the reasons why people today, they did it back then, they're doing it today. One of the reasons why people reject the gift of Jesus in their life is because they like the ideas of Jesus so long as you are able to define them for yourself. That's not what it means to believe in his name. To believe in his name means to take him at his word. To receive him means that you believe in his name, which for you and I is translated to, you don't get to pick and choose what parts of Jesus you want in your life. There's a very famous YouTuber, Rhett McLaughlin. He has deconstructed, and I fear for many young people, provided a pathway to reject Jesus. And there was a video he put out this week that came across my feed, and in it he used a metaphor as to how he continues to speak of Jesus. And the metaphor he used is that he is the illustration of dating Jesus, which, by the way, is a really common metaphor today for many relationships that people have. They're not married, they're just seeing each other. They're just living together. They're just dating. There is no real binding covenantal commitment. I'm only in this relationship insofar as it has value to me. And Rhett would say a few things like, I like Jesus's message. I like the idea of peace and acceptance. I like the idea of selflessness and charity to the world. Essentially, what he's saying is, I like Jesus my way. But as soon as Jesus starts to talk about hell, do you know Jesus talks a lot about hell? Yeah. Folks are like, you know, I really like this part of the gift, but I'm not so thrilled about that part. And so I'm gonna leave that aside. I'm going to pick and choose the parts that I want to keep. I'm going to believe in him only insofar as it serves my own wishes. When Jesus talks about judgment, I'm not so interested in that. When Jesus begins to get instruction on human sexuality that then leads into a greater New Testament teaching, you know what, Jesus? Stay in your lane. Just stay out of my business, and I will accept Sunday morning Jesus. I will accept sleeping baby Jesus in the manger. But King, Lord, Christ, this is the problem. This is the problem. Not only have people failed to recognize him, they don't see their need. Not only have people rejected him because I'm not interested in that Jesus, but they have also fooled themselves into receiving their own definition of Jesus. And I just got to be honest with you folks on a Christmas Eve that John tells us right here. That to those who had received him by believing in his name, taking him all at his word, he has given them the right to become children of God. And so I'd love just to wrap this up and get your attention back here in verse 13, that the nature of this birth is not of natural descent. It's not of a human desire or a husband's will. But because Jesus is born, you and I also can be born again. And so my challenge to all of us here is that we learn to see Jesus as God's, what? He's gift. And why do some people not like gifts? Well, because it's socks. I'm not interested in socks, right? They don't see their need, or they reject it because it's more than I really bargained for. Or we take Jesus and we package him up and we put him on a shelf, or we try to keep him in Sunday morning. Jesus is God's gift. He's given to you, and you must receive this gift. And the nature of this reception is as simple as this. It changes you. You guys with me on that? I'll make sure if you forget anything else, remember this point right here. That the gift of Jesus changes you. That's what it means to have Christ born into your life and for you then to be born again of God. In that hospital room, when that nurse handed me my son, my life forever changed. From a young age, as my mother shared the gospel with me, and I placed my faith in the risen Lord Jesus, my life forever changed. And so because Jesus is God in spirit, born in flesh physically, you and I, physically on earth, can now be born again spiritually. As you get to enter into tomorrow, receive the gift of Jesus. And may it be the same change to happen in your life, just as it happened in my life when I had a son. My identity was forever changed. It's completely irreversible. I can never go back to what I once was. And that it defines for me unmerited joy. Amen? Let's pray together.